Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so last week I get this book, and it's Beyond Broadway Joe, the Super Bowl team that changed football. It doesn't say forever, but changed football, and it's by Bob Lederer. And Bob is with us now, and obviously, Bob, as a Jet fan since 1965, okay, I'm very aggravated with this book because it's been 50 years since they won the damn Super Bowl. They haven't been near one since. I mean, a couple championship games that obviously they didn't win. All right, we get that. But, I mean, what inspired you to write this? You're a Jet fan longer than me. You started 63, I think you started. I started in 65.
First of all, Joe, thank you for having me on. I heard last week that you had talked about my book and they told me Joe Beningo talked about it, I went, uh-oh.
Yes. Okay. But what inspired you? Aren't you ticked off? Aren't you disgusted with this woebegone franchise that you want to remember this one moment that we had and that's it?
I'm as frustrated as most people would be, but I'm a year older than you. I was 16 on Super
right.
Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
And it was the most impressionable day in my sports life, basically because, as you recall, and as maybe a lot of fans here don't remember today, the Jets were given zero.
Yes, 18-point underdogs. Yeah.
Oh, and 21 from some bookkeepers.
Right, right.
And as they started to get control of the game, I have to tell you, my excitement level, you know, went way, way up. And in fact, when it was over, I just couldn't get over the fact that they had actually won the game. I mean, I was an honest, you know, fan. I was hoping they wouldn't get embarrassed,
right,
to be honest
right,
with you.
Right.
So when they won, boy, did it leave an impression. And there's something else that's really important that I think you remember as well. We were able to see that game from start to finish. And I'm a Mets fan, too. I didn't see the Mets win the World Series because I was in high school
that afternoon.
I didn't see the Knicks win the NBA title like 10 months later because ABC blacked it out in New York.
Yeah, it was on tape delay, actually, that game, like at midnight, the Knicks game.
Yeah, so it made a tremendous impression on me. And I'm 66 years old now.
Right.
And I remember the 25th anniversary and the 35th anniversary and et cetera. And it made no impression on me at all. And about 3 years ago, my wife reminded me that I'd always wanted to write a book about these guys because they were my heroes.
Right, right.
And not just Joe, but, I mean, my two favorite players were Emerson and Jerry Philbin.
Right, okay.
And I really was into everybody on that team. And I just think that 50 years later, this is the last hoorah. These guys, on average, are about 75 years old.
Yeah, it's true.
And they, there isn't going to be a 55th anniversary, Joe. This is it. And I think they deserve, particularly the guys not named Namath, and I love Joe, everybody does, but the guys not named Namath, I don't think have gotten their due over the last 50 years.
Hmm. I think it was a few months ago. I watched this entire game from beginning to end because obviously I wasn't alive for it. So I've heard the stories about it. And what I noticed about this game is how ridiculously ugly it was. The Colts missed two field goals in the first half.
Yep, yep.
They turned the ball over a million times, including one right at the end of the first half where they had a great opportunity to score. Jim Hudson picked it off.
That was the flea flicker with Earl Morrow.
Yeah, and
Jimmy Orr.
It was wide open.
Yep.
So it jumped out of me about this game, getting to watch it with fresh eyes because it's new to me. It's like the old NBC tagline. It's new to you if you haven't seen it. Was that it was ugly. It was a lot of mistakes in this game.
There were a lot of mistakes. And can I just go back a half a step, Evan, and tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't as wide open as you think he was. And that's one of the things you find out in the book.
Really?
Hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. That's a nice little tease right there.
There are. I could give you a ton of teasers. And my publisher said, no, don't talk about the book. Talk about what you remember and about your impressions. Because I'd love to come on with you guys and actually talk about the book when it comes out on September 11th. But yeah, it was an ugly game from that standpoint. But I'll tell you one thing that I learned, because I talked to not only Jet players for this book, I talked to AFL All-Star players about playing against this particular Jet team and that sort of thing. And I talked to a handful of the Colts who told me a whole bunch of interesting stuff. And the real reason, aside from wanting to give these guys their day in the sun, is that this game changed the National Football League as we know it to an unbelievable degree. I mean, the structure that we have today, the AFC and the NFC, was put together back then. And it didn't have to be that way. There were other plans afoot that would have made it remarkably different.
Talking to Bob Lederer, who's got a book out. You got to check it out. It won't be out till September 11th. I have it in front of me. Beyond Broadway Joe, the Super Bowl team that changed football. You know, as great as – and the Super Bowl was off the charts. I mean, it was unbelievable winning that, although I was 15 years old, and I would appreciate winning one now more, a lot more than I did then. I will say that, because who knew that we weren't going to see another one for 50 years. I mean, if you would have told me that, walking in, you know, at the end of that game, I would have said, come on, you got to kidding me? You know,
you're right.
Yeah, but the AFL title game, which to me, look, to me, the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs that year were far better teams than the Colts. To me, it was they would have beat them too, in my mind. They were better than the Colts. And the win against the Raiders in the AFL title game, especially with the stories you've heard now about Namath, that he was out, you know, there was a policeman that saw him coming out of a hotel room. He was with a woman or a couple women. And he had a hangover, and he played this game and all of that, all these different things. And we didn't see that game either, Bob. As you remember, in New York, I had to go to Philadelphia with my uncle to watch that game, because that game was also blacked out in New York, the AFL title game. Yeah, and they also showed it on tape delay at night. But that game was a game that gets lost, that was a tremendous game where, you know, Namath threw that big pick to George Atkinson that almost cost him the game. Then he comes back, you know, those three passes, one to Sauer, two to Maynard, the one that eventually, you know, won the game with the touchdown, that long bomb down the sideline. That game to me, you know, was almost probably more nerve-wracking than the Colt game, because the Colt game, they pretty much dominated that game when you look at it. How about that?
Joey, I tell you, your memory is amazing.
Well, I got hemorrhoids. I got hemorrhoids from this franchise, Bob. Come
on. I mean, the three passes that you just mentioned, that came right there with like 4 or 5 minutes left in the game.
Right, after he threw the big interception to Atkinson.
Oh, in fact, I'll tell you something, because I caught this a couple of weeks ago that Jet fans may want to check, and you will too. There's a guy out in California that found Bill King, the Oakland Raiders announcer, call of the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game.
Oh, really?
And it is. I'll show you where it is if you like. But it's chilling to listen to it, but also to listen to him give the credit, you know, to the Jets. But you know, Oakland made a lot of mistakes in that game too.
Yep.
And I'm taking nothing away. One of the Jets, I will tell you, Billy Joe,
right, the fullback.
He is one of the greatest coaches in black college football history. In fact, next to Robinson from Grambling,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's won more games in black college football than anybody else.
Where I didn't realize that. Where did he coach, Billy Joe?
Oh, he coached. Well, he started all over the place. You know, I'll send you the information. It just skips my mind at the minute. You know, at our respective ages, Joe, my memory isn't quite as sharp as you 24 hours a day. But anyway, he made a good comment to me after coaching for like 35 years. And he said, you know, you can blame things. You can say there was a lot of luck and that sort of thing. But luck happens when you're prepared to take advantage, you know, of the mistakes the other team makes. And that is true. And I'll take it from a guy who's got that kind of a winning record. But you're right. That game was every bit as chilling and as numbing. In fact, more so because, again, I couldn't see it. I was listening to it with Merle Harmon and DeLuca, and they did a great job. But, you know, I lived in Flushing. I lived 2 or 3 miles away from Shea Stadium. And you know what? A ticket in those days for a good, like a low seat for that game was like $25.
Yeah, sure.
Tremendous amount of money for a 16-year-old, but in today's terms,
nothing.
You know, it seems like nothing.
Right.
What was more important, the Jets winning Super Bowl III to show, hey, the AFL could beat the NFL, or it happening again in Super Bowl IV, saying that wasn't a fluke? Because I look at those two moments as the biggest moments in proving the legitimacy of the AFL. The first one's the miracle. The second one is, see, that wasn't a fluke. What are your thoughts?
We do cover that in the book, and but I will tell you that there was a tremendous amount of NFL refusal to accept what had happened.
Well, the Vikings were a big favorite as well over the Chiefs in that game. They were like a 13 to 14 point underdog, underdog as well. Kansas City.
You're right, and that's when all that argument, you know, went for naught because nobody was buying it anymore. And really, you know, there's a great story which isn't in the book that Roselle, as the Jets were winning the game, was in a booth next to George Halas. Mm. And I'm trying to think who else, but really old-time NFL,
right.
You know, guys, and they were throwing things and kicking the wall and whatever. They couldn't accept, they couldn't buy that the Jets were going to win the game. And Roselle, who had basically opposed any kind of a merger for years and years and years, realized at that moment, this is the greatest thing that's going to happen to professional football, because now we're going to have two leagues and fans are going to have even more interest in what both of them have to do. And next year's game, since they weren't going to be playing each other until 1970, the last Super Bowl with Kansas City and Minnesota, where the AFL played the NFL, had tremendous interest. And I don't know if it was as much as the Jet-Colt game was, but it had tremendous interest, and it was all because the Jets had won. The NFL hierarchy refused to really accept the idea, the premise, that this infant league had caught up to them, so it's a great question, we cover that and a lot more in the book.
Mm. Well, Bob, I appreciate it, man. Now, what we'll do is when September 11th, you say the book's coming out right around the opening of the season.
That's it. Yep.
Right around the opening of what will be another terrible Jet season. So, of course.
Hey, Joe, I'm going to correct you on that. I think that Darnold is a difference maker, and in fact, I've looked at something that I haven't seen anybody else point out.
Okay.
And that is, this is the first number one rated college quarterback that the Jets have been able to get their hands on since Namath.
Yeah.
All the other guys that they got, you know, they were pretty highly rated. They were not considered number one. Obviously, they got close with Manning. If Parcells could have convinced him to leave, you know, school a year earlier than he wanted to. But this is the first time, and I think this kid is going to take him a long way. Is it going to happen this year? No. I mean, I'd be really happy if he plays a lot and they go 8-8. But I think this guy's the real thing. Last year I wrote a blog because there wasn't much to write about with the Jets. And the blog was basically at the beginning of the season, let's watch these three hotshot quarterbacks from Wyoming and UCLA and USC, and let's as fans make up our own minds about exactly, you know, who it is that we like. Mm. And by the way, one more thing, and that is, if anybody is really interested in the book, we have a website for it. It's not ironically BeyondBroadwayJoe.com, and there's a lot of information about the players and about the information that we got and who we talked with and how you can pre-order the book.
Great. From your lips to God's ears on Donald, Bob.
Joe, okay? I'd love to talk to you off the air, and thank you both guys for having me on. I really appreciate it, Bob.
Bob Lederer, okay. And again, the book is Beyond Broadway Joe, the Super Bowl team that changed football. The wonderful 50th anniversary of that game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.